turn of the century, Bartow was booming. Phosphate had been discovered. The railroad came through town and people were raising cattle and starting to grow citrus. Lots of people, both white and black, were pouring into the area. They all needed somewhere to live, and L.B. Brown saw his opportunity.
L.B. Brown was an entrepreneur. He saw all of this activity, and he saw an opportunity not only to prepare himself and his family, but a way to make money. In fact, a 1912 newspaper described him as the leading capitalist in Bartow among the gentlemen of color.
That's Clifton Lewis, the driving force behind the restoration of Brown's family home in Bartow, and the one who alerted officials from the Smithsonian Institution of Brown's story. What sets L.B. Brown apart from other successful African Americans of that era is what Clifton Lewis calls Brown's living testimony.
Yeah, there's just so much that's still available, not only the house and the stone pillar, but we have some of his papers, his handwritten notes. That's a testimony to what he achieved.
Lewis is meeting me at the L.B. Brown House. It's just a few days after a big event there with politicians and civic leaders gathering to give a send-off to the foundation stone. Deborah Mack of the Smithsonian said at the time that Brown represented the skills and determination of African Americans critical to building the nation. Brown's house sits in East Bartow in what used to be 2nd Avenue, renamed L.B. Brown Avenue in 2009. The two-story Victorian is 1,700 square feet, not large by today's standards, but it would have been an imposing structure for its time and place. Brown, a self-taught master carpenter, built the house himself in 1892, adding embellishments like a wraparound veranda and intricate woodwork and gingerbread trim.
Right on there. I didn't realize it was so warm in here. Come on, leave that open. So we're entering the back hallway of the house.
To the left is the bathroom with its claw-footed tub. To the right is the kitchen, dominated by an authentic wood-burning stove.
This stove was donated to us by Mr. Dudley and Sally Putnam, who are the parents of our current Agriculture Commissioner, Adam Putnam. And so it just shows that the contribution the folks in Bartow have made.
The stove and most of the furnishings in the house were brought in during the home's renovation. Lavinia Thomas, Brown's daughter and a local school teacher, lived in the house until her death in 1989. The house was dilapidated and slated for the wrecking ball in 1998 when Lewis formed the Neighborhood Improvement Corporation and started work on restoring it. The NIC had help from Robert Brown, who was L.B. Brown's last remaining child. Robert lived in New York but had visited the house several times before he died last year. He was able to describe how the house looked at the time that he and his 6 brothers and sisters grew up there. The family members' formal portraits line the hallway of the front entrance.
Next to Mr. Brown's picture is his mother, Catherine. His mother was a Native American. And in the second row, you see there are 7 children. This fellow, Clifford Brown, was a principal of Kathleen High School in Lakeland and well-known in the Lakeland area as Coach Brown.
Several of Brown's personal possessions are on display in the sitting room, such as a pocket watch and the family Bible.
We have his book of etiquettes, the golden way to the highest attainment. He signed it, L.B. Brown, April 1890. And his handwriting is almost in calligraphy, if you can see how beautiful it is. This is the book of Florida law and banking regulations. Again, a testimony to his entrepreneurial. He knew he had to do things right.
Brown's house and other artifacts are reminders that slavery existed just a couple of generations ago. But Lewis says that Brown's legacy is about more than the circumstances of his birth.
Brown didn't let that hold him back. He never went to school a day in his life, yet he became very literate. And so his life served as an inspiration on a positive note. And I think that's how we ought to use it, especially for our young people who have so many benefits today that they're allowing to get away from them.
Lewis says that the L.B. Brown Museum hopes to augment the work of local history centers by telling the African-American story of Central Florida. The next step, he says, is to obtain funding to bring in an educator that will teach L.B. Brown's story to area school children. Robin Sussingham, WUSF 89.7 News.